You know, it's interesting how healing became something that we'd be talking about today. And the scriptures I have are from the Gospel of John, chapter 9, all 42 verses. And if I get that far, I do. If we don't, we don't. But there's enough in there that I may be able to do the second part if I do it in segments with our break in between. But this is a wonderful portion of scripture, John chapter 9. And there's so much to bring out that I'm probably not going to read the whole thing first. We'll just go down through it. Everybody got it? Gospel of John chapter 9, starting in verse 1. If you got it, say, I got it. If you're still looking for it, say, no, I'm not there yet. I didn't hear that. We're good. Okay. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Only Jesus would know that, wouldn't he? Unless he knew the family. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, I'd like to stop right there because this is really, in religious circles, this is one of the first things that is so easy to assume, that if someone is sick or they have an infirmity, oh, they must have sinned. And this is where it all started, right here. This is a great place to think about that, because so often it's just an accepted form of conversation when we're asked to pray for somebody, and does that thought cross our minds? You know, and Lorraine brought the other study about the man's sins being forgiven. Well, actually, it wasn't so much that as the fact that he was letting the scribes and Pharisees know that he was God, because only God can forgive sin. So that's the deeper underlying spiritual truth about that, is he demonstrated to them and showed them that he was. Okay, so Jesus said, listen to Jesus' answer. Neither has this man sinned nor his parents. That was his answer. Now, you have to remember, manuscripts didn't have punctuation because periods at the end of phrases or sentences can make all the difference in the world. Neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. Now, here's another religious doctrine, a doctrine of religion that was established. God puts sickness on people so that they'll be healed later, to make them humble, to punish them, or to do all that kind of stuff. But my question to you is, if you were a person who believes that, I'd like to know where God gets it to start with, because we're told in the Lord's Prayer that everything would be on earth as well would be here on earth as it is in heaven. There'd be a lot of sick, hurting people in heaven, wouldn't there? Not only that, but if God puts sickness and disease on people, Jesus walked in the perfect will of his Father, then why did he go around healing everybody and messing up God's plan? I'm just asking dumb Vermont questions.
Why wasn't Jesus himself sick?
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. So, but anyway, the work that glorified the Father was in healing the blind man. It wasn't in his sickness and disease or anything like that. God was glorified when the blind man was healed. And when he had thus spoken, verse 6, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. this, I don't know if I'd want anybody to do that for me, but it sounds to us, it sounds really crude, but yet it was holy spit. No, he didn't know where the guy got the water. That's a good point, Faith. Yeah. We only have what's written, so. Oh, we're going to have a good time today. Did you hear that, Tom? Oh, my. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. This is one of those places where Jesus didn't pray for him. He didn't speak to his blindness, but he did something else. He told him to do something. And he already was blind, but he had to walk however far it was across Jerusalem to that pool, which has now been archaeologically discovered and being restored right now, even as we speak today. That project is still going on. But he had to walk through the streets with his eyes encased in mud or spit or whatever, but clay, let's call it clay. And as soon as he washed in that pool, he washed his eyes out, the blindness was gone, and he received his healing. Sometimes people will say, you need to take a step of faith when someone prays for you. You'll hear the phrase, do something you couldn't do before. That's not a gimmick. It's not. It isn't something that's just to get the public all excited about. There's a lot of truth to that. Well, anyway, he went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he's like him. But he said, I am he. I'm the guy. No, not the pillow man, but he's the guy. No. I'm the guy. I'm the one. I was the one that was born blind. And now I can see. And I know he's got to be absolutely jubilant and really excited about that. And therefore they said unto him, how were your eyes opened? Ah, here comes. How'd it happen? Who did that? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received my sight. They said to him, where is he? He said, I don't know. I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind or had been blind before. Now they're going to bring him to the Pharisees, the religious crowd. And it was the Sabbath day. Uh-oh, he's in trouble now. Can't do any of those kind of things on the Sabbath. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay on my eyes and washed, and I washed, and I do see. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God. Why? Because he doesn't keep the Sabbath day. It was like after Faith and I got saved, we got born again and we were saved, and somebody said, what day do you go to church? Sunday, you're going to hell. Why bother to get saved? You know, it's that same religious spirit. It's in the world today. You all know it is. This is not a strange portion of Scripture to us, but it's pertinent to bring out. When you receive something supernatural from the Lord, There are a lot of people that are just not going to be able to receive that. They have no understanding, and they have their own judgmental opinions about it. But you're the one that knows the truth. You're the one that experienced the miracle, and you don't need to be shy about it. So, anyway, he keeps not the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? So they're already, they're not even thinking the possibility is that Jesus was their Messiah. He's a sinner. He didn't keep the Sabbath. And so surely if he was the Messiah, he would have never done that on the Sabbath. God forbid. That was blasphemy. And there was division among them. And they said unto the blind man again, what say you of him that he has opened your eyes? He said, he's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents. I mean, this is turning into an FBI background interrogation over a miracle. I mean, this is really big. Did you ever have to give an account to anybody for your healing? Oh, you must live in a sheltered world. Wow. And they asked him, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? Oh, I loved what his parents said. His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means by now he sees, we don't know that. We know not. Or who has opened his eyes? We know not. He's of age. You ask him. He'll speak for himself. These words spoke his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if any man did confess that he was the Christ or the Messiah, he should be put out of the synagogue. So they were concerned they were going to be kicked out of church if they stood up for the son and said, you know, he was blind, and Jesus healed him. And they were afraid to say that because of the public humility of being kicked out of the synagogue. I want to break here for a minute. We, many years ago, had some people that were known in London. Tom actually met them. And they had the same name for their ministry. And so they actually had to communicate with each other for one of them to change the name of their ministries. And anyways, they ended up, the power station. So Tom had to change his to Station Power to make the two, you could still have the two on the internet. And this couple agreed to come to America. Tom had invited them to come to the States. And they came, and she had been lame from something that kept her in a wheelchair for quite a few years. That was her lifestyle. And she came in a wheelchair. She came here in a wheelchair, and she got instantly healed sitting where Ken and Laurie are. And she pushed the wheelchair back to the car. She ended up lugging laundry up and down the stairs where Tom and Carol were, doing the laundry and all that stuff, perfectly healed and whole. And nobody could explain it. They couldn't explain it. All they know is they came here, we laid hands on her, and she was instantly healed, and she no longer needed the wheelchair. She lived out the rest of her 2 weeks here, went back to England, went back to her church, and boy, she got the riot act, just like what this guy went through. God doesn't heal anybody. God doesn't do that anymore. And it was so bad. They beat on her so bad that the only way they could contend with that, they left the church because they kept trying to talk her out of her healing. She knew what happened. And she had to stand up for her healing because she said they were beating on us so bad with their mouths and condemning us that we just couldn't stay there any longer. So they've been working with the Salvation Army for many years since then. And they have a chapel and a chaplain. And to this day, She's wheelchair free. I stopped to see her, Tom and I stopped to see her on our way to India. They came and picked us up at Heathrow Airport. We had a wonderful time of fellowship in their little apartment. She's perfectly fine. She's still walking. She takes walks on the beach. She swims. She goes shopping. Everything that she couldn't do before she's doing, because she left that place that was telling her that God doesn't do those things anymore. What a horrible thing to hear in church. I know that I shouldn't talk like that, but you know, it gets down in you when, and I go to India and I see all those miracles and I'm connected by so many people that receive miracles. You know what those villagers did? They went running and getting all of their sick people and brought them so they could be healed, instead of bad-mouthing them from the pulpit of a church somewhere. This stuff goes on today. And it's important for us to realize there is a religious spirit, and religion kills, but spirituality and faith in Christ brings life. Religion kills. Now let's look a little further. Then again they called the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Talking about Jesus, the one who healed him. Now he's trying to get the healed man to confess, yes, Jesus was a sinner. I don't know how we pulled that one off. You know, to just make him turn on the man that he gave him his healing. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, that whereas I was blind and now I see. And I know, Don, you've actually spoken those words here a few times, because we all have a testimony.
Every time I get confronted with somebody telling me that didn't happen to me, I use that.
It's true. Amen. And we should. There's no reason we should back away from telling people of the beautiful things that God has done. I wrote a 6-page letter to my brother and told him, that I got born again and how God delivered me of 13 years of alcoholism and drug addiction in an instant. He couldn't even understand what I wrote. I tried to be right to the point, you know. We shared our testimonies overseas of those things, and one time, I'm talking about this because this actually happened, where they were all... they had all been communists, and communists don't believe in God, and they don't believe in any of these things. And Dave Wells and I and Carl Erickson were all giving our testimonies of our life and how God intervened in our lives and set us free and delivered us from all these things. Why, I'll tell you, if those guys could have interrogated us, they would have, because they just were mocking and snickering among themselves. They were highly educated. So high they couldn't even see their own nose. It's a really bad spirit, you know, and we don't need to be shy about telling people our testimonies. You all have one of your life-changing experience. And it's very meaningful to you. You know what happened. No matter what anybody else says, this is what it was like before Jesus came into my life, and this is what it's like since. And I don't know how we did it, and I don't even care to know how we did it. All I know is he did. And that's where this guy is. I mean, he's been beat on for some time. He passed around to, oh, we'll take him to the church. They'll set him straight on what happened. Whew, don't go to that one. I've told you already, and you wouldn't listen. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? Bam, right between the eyes. I love it. What a bold fellow he became. Sometimes we really got to be bold. They then reviled him and said, you're his disciple, but we're Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from where he is. And the man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he has opened my eyes. Who else could do that? He was more than Joseph's son. He was more than the man that made the coffee table in his living room. You got to look a little deeper. And yet he's opened my eyes. And now here they go again. We know that God does not hear sinners. Really? Then how does anybody get saved? I think the Sadducees were in there somewhere. They didn't believe in his resurrection, and that's why they're still sad, you see. But if any man be a worshiper of God and does his will, him he hears. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was blind? No, but Damon got dipped in the river 7 times and he got his healing from leprosy only on a word that the prophet sent. This stuff happened in the Pharisees' time. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. So we're getting this conversation back and forth. And they, meaning the Pharisees again, they answered and said unto him, you were altogether born in sins, and do you teach us? And they cast him out, the best thing that ever could have happened to him. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, do you believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Because see, he never saw Jesus. And Jesus said unto him, you have both seen him, and it is he that talks with you. I'm the guy. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into the world, that they which see not might see, and they that which see might be made blind. And he's talking about spiritual blindness compared to literally being blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto them, are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, oh, we see. Therefore, your sin remains.
Oh.
Yeah. But I really like it how each time Jesus healed somebody, they wanted to follow him because there's a divine knowing when something like that happens to you. You just know that you know that you know, and nobody can talk you out of it. And I think that's really something that we, In these days that we're living in a day of scoffers and mockers. But we know, as a church, we know individually that the Lord has really, really touched our lives. And he continues to work beautiful things in our lives every day. And I love to share some of these accounts because having gone overseas so many times into these little villages where there's no doctors, there's no medicines and no clinics. And Don and I, this can still stay on the tape because it's part of this testimony. The miracles that I saw, but two that really touched me were, there was a young boy, he was 4 years old, and he was born from the waist down. It was like he was paralyzed. He couldn't ever walk. He couldn't play with his little friends. And he crawled on the ground on his elbows and his hands because he could never be upright. And I didn't pray for him per se, but I spoke to a spirit of infirmity to loosen. And he got up. And he started walking immediately. And every year that I've gone back to India, I've gone to see him. And I've watched him grow. Tom took pictures of me sitting with this guy. And he really is tall now. He's as tall as Tom is. And he is walking. His father's quite elderly now. He's taking care of all of his father's sheep and running the farm and the garden and all that stuff. And this man has been whole from the time he was a little kid. And every time we see each other, our eyes connect because there's a miracle that connects us that you never will forget. And then in the gypsy camp, there was a little girl that was born with the same infirmity, exactly the same exactly the same thing. And I spoke to the spirit of infirmity. And you don't have to yell. They're not deaf. They hear very nicely when you say the name of Jesus. And all hell comes to attention. And that spirit of infirmity left that little girl. And I saw her every year I went back. Because, you know, there are certain people, when you pray for them, you connect with them. There's something that happens that connects you together forever. And every year I'd go back and I'd see her running and playing with her friends. And then all of a sudden one day I got a letter from Pastor Sherrard. And that little girl, who was a young teenager by then, she got some fever in the village and she died from a fever. There's nothing for them there. Even in the natural, if they could have got her aspirin or something to help keep the fever down, I really don't know. But there's two kinds of fever in jungle areas. And this in the Philippines too. There's dengue fever and there's typhoid fever. There's all kinds of things like that in villages, but they don't have any way to get people to hospitals. It can be 3 and 4 hours away. They don't have cars. They either walk or take a bicycle, and would they survive the 3-hour ride to the hospital? And so they come with such an expectancy and such an eager heart to receive that it's a joy. I don't care. I've stood for 3 hours and prayed one-on-one with so many people. And when the house is empty again, you go outside and all the people in the village are standing outside waiting for you to go pray for them too. Because they want that touch from the Lord that you carry. It isn't just me. You have it too. And be confident when you pray. Be confident in the Jesus that you speak his name. You don't have to be afraid. I know sometimes I feel intimidated by people if I let them. Oh, should I pray for that person in the bowling alley? Yes, bless God, we're going to. What about the one in the old store that used to be in Springfield Plaza? I don't even remember the name of it. It's a long time ago. A lady got healed. She had fell off a ladder and injured her back and she couldn't work anymore. And everybody in the store was all talking and noisy. And we thought, well, why don't we just pray over here in this nice quiet aisle? And while we were doing it, all these people gathered around to see what was happening. And it was really quiet in there. Well, she got healed. God showed up at the store right in front of everybody. He wasn't, no problem. We bring him with us. So this is an encouragement. This is a really good word today we're talking about. And that same healer is on the inside of each one of us.